Alex Blewett is the editor-in-chief of Eclipse Zone, and Neil Bartlett is a OSGI expert and author of a recent series of OSGI articles. Today we're talking about OSGI. How are you gentlemen today?
Oh, doing pretty well at Eclipse Zone. Great, thanks.
Excellent, excellent. So can you tell us what OSGI is?
OSGI is a framework for developing modular and dynamic applications. It's currently the runtime that runs underneath Eclipse, along with a number of other fairly major systems, such as WebSphere Application Server 6.1, and it's the future of Java.
It's just turning up everywhere, not only in the application space, but also in the libraries as well. There's a lot of interest in Spring Framework moving over towards an OSGI environment, and it wouldn't surprise me if we start to see some of the Apache Common stuff moving towards that as well.
So what is the future of Java in light of OSGI?
Well, I think it's pretty clear that there is a desire for modular applications to be able to be built. There's obviously the JSR 294, which is OSGI, but also the JSR 277 and the other JSR going along with modularizing Java, so it's clearly an important part. And I think in some respects it's a reflection of what C# is doing with the .NET assemblies as well. Everyone's realizing that this is a good way. And the thing with OSGI is that everyone's got 6 years' worth of experience developing in this at the moment. So there's a lot of experience out there. There's a lot of tools that are already based on it and are using it in real systems. Whereas some of the other stuff is more, if not vaporware, then certainly there's still ideas on paper at the moment. So realistically, the future of Java is modular Java. OSGI's got a 6-year head start with a number of applications that are running on it at the moment. And I think certainly for the near and intermediate future, OSI is certainly going to be the strong contender in that field.
There have been several attempts at building component models. Java EE has got a component model. Component models have been around for a long, long time with varying degrees of success. What makes OSGI different?
There's an important difference between some of the J2EE stuff and what OSGI is. OSGI is really just about a modular architecture for building anything that you want, whereas J2SE was about telling you how to build your application. So there's no real module support in there. It's a bunch of libraries that you have to use, whereas with OSGI, you can decide how you want to use those bundles. You can decide how you want to set things up and how you want those to interface in the application. It concentrates on what it's good at, and it lets you develop the application on top of it.
So what are the main benefits of OSGI?
There's two benefits that I see. One is modularity, and the other is dynamicness. Now, dynamicness is something that I've just made up that word, but lots of people see it and they think it's very cool, but it's very far in advance of what people are able to do at the moment. I believe that even if you don't think you need dynamic behavior, you should still use OSGI for the modularity behavior. I think a lot of Java projects are suffering right now with effects like jar hell, where they just have these massive class paths full of jars. They can't manage those class paths. You have a stack of jars that, for example, you have no idea what each individual jar does. Whether you still depend on it, who supplied it, what it depends on. You can't analyze those dependencies. OSGI really helps to alleviate those problems with just plain Java development.
So at very least it formalizes those notions to make it easier to understand those interdependencies.
Exactly, it makes them explicit rather than implicit in the code.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very difficult to discover the missing dependencies except by running something and having it crash in traditional Java. So OSGI makes things explicit so you can know in advance what you need.
Yeah, I mean, one of the other things is that it's also inversion of control is the hot topic at the moment with things like Spring being able to wire things up after they've been up and running. And even if you don't have a dynamic system in the OSGI sense where things come and go at runtime, then the fact that you can add new things and start it up, even if it's static once the system's up and running, is still in a very important part and a very important part of Spring. So, yeah, I think that the modularity is certainly a very key part of OSGI. The dynamic nature, whether you need things to come and go at runtime, well, yeah, that's just an extension of how you want to configure and put together a system in the first place. You can still take advantage of that even if you're not bouncing things on the fly.
So what's holding back quicker adoption of OSGI?
Well, I think there's certainly a lot of impression that OSGI, SWT and Eclipse are kind of all in one bucket, and then there's NetBeans and Swing in the other player. And you tend to find that there's people who have allegiance to one or either of those groups. And if you're not in the RSGI camp, then you're against it, basically. And I don't think that's really a good characterization. We put together a demo recently for JSIG in London where we showed an RSGI swing application that had actions coming and going as we started and stopped dynamic services, as well as using the ability to have multiple classes loaded and running at one time, really just as a way of opening up people's ideas who would never have otherwise considered it to use it in a swing-based application. Specifically, what's holding it back at the moment, I think, is really two things. Firstly, a lot of the core libraries that people tend to use, you know, the log4j's of the world, don't come upstream from RSGI bundles. And I know that there's been people like Peter working to try and improve that, and I certainly think Spring is going to be an excellent light leader, as it were, for showing other people the way. But I think once you start getting upstream systems committing to provide bundleized jars as well, then and remember, of course, you know, any bundle you can use as a plain jar anyway, so it's not like it's requiring them to do anything different. But one of the reasons why that hasn't come forward is because Maven doesn't support RSGI builds. And I think that once Maven starts being able to spit out bundles as easily as ordinary jars, and that's taken as the default way of doing things, then I think it's going to become a lot easier for people to be able to adopt RSGI in the open source world, which in turn I think is going to impact people who use those open source tools in the commercial world.
I think the other thing is we're seeing RSGI being used a lot in infrastructure, for example, the WebSphere application server, but it's not really being picked up by application developers, you know, the sort of the in-house bespoke applications and so on. And it's seen as something a bit too low level for the business developers to be interested in. I think it should be picked up at that level. And I think the thing that's going to drive it into that is Spring, because Spring just is incredibly ubiquitous these days in general Java development. And with the support for OSGI coming in Spring 2.1, I think that's really going to open a lot of people's eyes to OSGI and what can be achieved with it.
So are you enjoying EclipseCon so far? I know it's early in the week, but has it been useful so far?
Hey, I got my registration kit all sorted, yeah. We've got the Eclipse Awards later on, so I don't know it at the moment, but I've been nominated for an Ambassador Award, and I'll tell you whether I came first, second, or third when you listen to this podcast later.
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. Lots of interesting people to meet. It's my first time here.
Well, thank you very much for speaking with me today. Neil's articles are on Eclipse Zone. That's eclipsezone.com. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.